whatever comes out of my mouth will be for the glory of the Lord, I hope. I just want to praise him because he's done so much for me, more than I can ever pay back. Just an old rejected relic on the auction block. They decided to throw me away. The auctioneer asked who would take her. This old life so scarred with sin. But Jesus stepped forward. He said, I will. Amen. If you had known me before I knew him, you'd understand why I love him. If you had known me before I knew him, you'd understand my love. I hadn't much to offer, just heartaches and tears, and a life that was filled with despair. For my rags, he gave me riches. For my fear, he traded peace. For my old life, he gave me a blessed release. If you had known me before I knew him, you'd understand why I love him. If you had known me before I knew him, you'd understand my love.
Okay, you ladies, y'all come sing, will you? Carl Woodbury is who I forgot to mention a moment ago. Father, in Jesus' name, this old warrior of the cross, getting up in years, his wife, God, you've used him mightily down through the years. Pray he'll always keep his mind and be sharp, his wife. God, you bless him. God, I pray you'll encourage that old man today, that old warrior of the faith, old soldier of the cross. Unctionize him. God, let him go down memory lane. All the good times he's had with you. Lord, how you marvelously, miraculously saved him like you did. And God, how his life and testimony, ministries touched a many, many soul. And dear God, I pray, Father, he'll bask in seeing you. And Lord God, looking forward to it. Thank you, God, this isn't the end, it's just the beginning. We give you praise, and I bless these ladies they sing. Bless your word in Christ's name. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Sing it to the Lord. Yes, Father, bless you. Yes. Oh, God. Praise your name.
I'd just like to thank the Lord for saving me. Being so good to me. It's been almost 3 years. I was right over there. I thank God I always know where I can go back to.
Amen.
Where he saved me.
Precious. Precious.
Thank him for being so good. He said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. Thank him for always being faithful.
friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else could heal all our souls' diseases. No,
till the day is done.
Okay, let me get this thing cut on here, see if it's going to work. Good. Yeah, go ahead. You want to sing up here or back there? Okay, come on up here. You sure can. Amen. Appreciate her willing to obey the Lord. I'm Proverbs 21, if I get there. Sing to the Lord. Boy, I so appreciate this young lady. What a trophy. Absolute trophy of grace. Her salvation is worth more than 10 million false professions. Amen, girl. You
obey the Lord.
I want to thank the Lord for saving me. I came to Jesus. I was thirsty and dry. Nothing could fill this longing of mine. For a small drink of water. Is all I would ask. But he gave me something he knew would last. Then up from my soul came a river of life. A spring of salvation that shall never run dry. The story of mercy is mine now to tell. I asked him for water. He gave me the well. It's hard to believe that I'm a part of his bride. Nothing could ever feel more worthless than I. For years I had been searching for a life-giving source, but I did not find one till I found the Lord. Then up from my soul came a river of life, a spring of salvation that shall never run dry. The story of mercy is mine now to tell. I asked him for water and he gave me the well.
In the Lord. That's right. Praise the Lord, sis. That's what church is about, worshiping God. And he sure is worthy, isn't he? Thank you.
Proverbs 3, I'm going to read a few verses here.
Proverbs 3. I'm going to read these verses and see which way God directs me. But this dynamite scripture right here. Dynamite scripture. A lot of people in life, they're so empty and they don't have any victory. The reason being, they've missed the whole ball of wax. What's important? Heaven and earth pass away. It's all leaving here. It's gone. God said, my word will not pass away. But if all I had to look forward to is this world, oh God, wouldn't that be a miserable existence? Appreciate Sister Sue singing, these ladies singing, and then Misty. Thank you. Thank you. The Lord's worthy. If I'm reading this scripture and you need to go find somewhere just to thank him, just to obey God. Proverbs 3, verse 5. These verses have tremendously helped me in my life. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And then Proverbs 11, these are all in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 11, verse 5. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way. The wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. And then chapter 16, you're seeing the flow of these words, what God is mentioning here. Is that word direct? 16 verse 9. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. The Bible even says it's not in man to direct his own path, his own steps. God's got to do it. Proverbs 21 verse number 29. The last verses I'll read here. Proverbs 21:29. A wicked man hardeneth his face, but as for the upright, he directeth his way. Cut back on this monitor just a little bit. God's purpose for your life. Purpose. It's everything. If you don't know God's purpose today, you don't even know what you're doing on planet Earth. Most important thing man know is to have purpose. The most important thing about anything, I don't care if it's a watch, if it's an ink pen, if it's a car, if it's a pew, if it's a bed, the most important thing about anything is the purpose it was made for. Most important thing about man is the purpose that he's made for, and that is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. The most important thing about an ink pen is not how much it costs. There's a lot of ink pens. Some of them's made out of solid gold. Some of them I couldn't even afford to buy. But when it comes down to writing your name or signing a check, endorsing something, what counts is not what a pen looks like. It's not even important at that time what it's made out of. What's important, does it fulfill the purpose for which it was made? And that is to write with. If you need something to write with, it doesn't matter how impressive that it looks. If you get an automobile, it doesn't matter if it costs $500,000. And there's cars, Lamborghinis and things of that nature that cost that much money. Rolls Royce. What good's all of that if it don't fulfill the purpose? It can have a set of $5,000 wheels, $10,000 wheels. It can have a suede interior. I mean everything, leather, everything to perfection. But what's a car made for? It's not made to look at. It's not made to admire. I'm talking about if you need to get down the road. It's made for one thing. That's transportation. And if it's not fulfilling that, it is worthless. Therefore, if you got a Rolls Royce broke down beside the road, and over here is a little purpose of transportation, the Volkswagen means more to you than does a Rolls Royce. I wonder today how many of us have ever found out the purpose we were made for. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Then in chapter 1, God goes through the steps of how he made this thing in 6 24-hour days. The culmination of God's creation is man. That's what he made this for. He made the rivers. He made the mountains. He made the stars for man. He didn't make it for himself. He didn't need all that. But he made it to show man how great that he is. God said in Genesis 1, 26, God said, "Let us make man in our own image after our likeness." So God created man in his own image, in the image of God. Created he him, male and female, created he them. Now, it's obvious to any thinking person how that the sun, the moon, the stars, creation, the earth, all of its systems. I mean, all that God has set in this thing to sustain it. It's obvious somebody had to make it. And somebody with a superior mind, the greatest mind in the universe, is God. But he made it for a purpose. I mean, God made rain. Water, rather, for a purpose. He made gravity for a purpose. He made the air that we breathe, oxygen, for a purpose. He made carbon dioxide for a purpose. He made grass for a purpose. He made a cow for a purpose. He made a dog for a purpose. Everything God's ever made, God's made with a purpose in mind. So it's obvious how when God made a man, he made him for a purpose. This word purpose has the idea of an aim or a goal, a desired result. When God made you, he made you with a desired result in his mind. It means a motive, expectation. Think about this. Do you know your purpose in life? Have you ever discovered why God saved you? Have you ever discovered, if you're not saved, what are you doing here? I mean, there's got to be more to this thing than getting up every morning, going to work, going to school, wherever you go, going back home dead tired, dog tired, eating a little bit, going back to bed, getting up again. There's got to be more to that monotonous routine than just existing. Man has got to have a purpose. Man's got to have a reason for existence. One of the things that mothers especially face, the trauma when their children go off to college or their children get married, that mother says, "I don't feel like that I'm needed anymore." Everybody has got to have a purpose, a reason to live. I mean, a goal set before us, and it sure does make life different when you do. Now, think about this. Try to get in your mind, and we bring God down to the level of our understanding, or we can't understand him. I mean, God, in his transcendence, he's above and outside of all things. I can't understand a God like that, but I can understand Christ, God, the Son of God, becoming flesh and revealing God to us and showing us the greatness of God and literally how to live a victorious Christian life. That's what Christ did. He lived in victory every day because he obeyed the will of the Father. But let's try to imagine in our mind, God is up in heaven. He's got a big board and he's got all of his plans laid out of creation and what he's going to do, the blueprint, the set of plans. Of course, that didn't happen. God, it was on God's mind, and he spoke it. But I'm trying to get this down where we can understand it. Let's say this set of plans are laid out in heaven, and Michael, the archangel, comes by, and Michael says, "God, what are you doing next?" God said, "I'm going to make a world. I'm going to make an earth. I'm going to make man." And of course, Michael the archangel, not knowing what man was, He asked the question of all questions, to what purpose are you going to make man? I see the sun shining. I know its purpose. I see the moon reflecting the sun and becoming the lamp of the Lord at night. But if you were to ask God, why are you going to make man? What's your intention? What's your desired result? And of course, we know what it is. It's to worship God. It's to glorify, honor Him. God desired to save a fallen race by His grace, that we would love and do His favor. But think about this. It's so important for you to have a plan and work your plan. But how can you if you don't have a purpose? If you don't even know what you're doing here? If you don't know why you're existing? There's reasons that purpose is so important in the life of sinners and the life of God's people. So I'm talking about God's purpose for your life. The first reason we need to know that the success of anything is determined by its purpose. This pen is not successful unless it can write. It doesn't matter how much you pay for a watch. It can be a Rolex. It can be solid gold. Have the mechanisms the best that Switzerland could ever make. But if you have got to be somewhere and it's life or death situation and you got to know what time it is, that watch, that Rolex does not fulfill its purpose unless it can tell time. Now that man might flash that Rolex around to impress people that he's wealthy, and they've got so many fakes now how that don't mean what it used to mean. But unless the thing is fulfilling the purpose for which it's made for, it's not successful. Same way with a car. If a car will not run, it doesn't matter what's under the hood. It doesn't matter what kind of transmission and drivetrain it's got. It doesn't matter how impressive the paint job is. If it don't run and you need to go somewhere, it is not fulfilling the purpose that it's made for. Now, that's why you and I need to work right so that we'll fulfill God's purpose. What did God the Father say when Christ was baptized? What did He say out of heaven? This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Now this sort of gets in another train of thought. But when God the Father said that, when was it? It was at Christ's baptism. He hadn't performed one miracle yet. He hadn't taught Sunday school. He hadn't healed anybody. He hadn't done one work of supernatural power until he was baptized and the Holy Ghost came on him. God the Father said, the 30 years that he's lived on this earth, I'm well pleased. It's not what you do in the eyes of the world. It's whether you fulfill the purpose that God made you. That's going to be the estimation of success when you come to the end of the road. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 6, Paul said, I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. In other words, he had done what God said do. He kept the faith. He finished the race. He kept the rules. He was not disqualified. He ended up the way God wanted him to. And with all this bold confidence and bold assurance, he said, I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. It wouldn't have been God's will for Paul to live another day, preach another sermon, another person. His work was done. He was successful, and he went home in the victory. Now, everything we think about, we needed an analogy, a metaphor, a type, a likeness to illustrate truth. Now you'll understand this. Those of you that have ever played sports, Paul, you know what he done? He went to the locker room. The game's over. He goes to the locker room for the coach had a meet with his teammates. You know what? Paul went to the locker room with the thrill of victory. That's not the agony of defeat. Have you ever noticed the difference at the end of the Super Bowl, at the end of a World Series, at the end of some championship, at the end of a ball game? The difference in winning and losing. It means everything to us in that area of the flesh. I'll tell you, when my life's over and my race is run, I want to go to the locker room with the thrill of victory and not the agony of defeat, where I disobeyed God and not done what He wanted me to. Another reason we need to know God's purpose is finding God's purpose for your life is the only way to happiness, joy, fulfillment, and contentment. I mean, what are you going to do with somebody that's doing God's will? What are you going to do with somebody that knows the direction they're on? What are you going to do with somebody that knows their purpose in life? Oh, they got an inward assurance and confidence that they're doing what God saved them to do. Everything operates best when it operates for the purpose it was made for. Now you can go down to your house and you need to run a nail in something and you forgot your hammer. Let's say when I was a boy, when we put up fence all the time, got your wrecking bar out, got your steeples out, but you need a hammer and you forgot the hammer. Hey, you might have an adjustable wrench. Some of y'all call them crescent wrenches. I've always called them adjustable wrenches or some kind of tool in your pocket, but it's not a hammer. And you can beat and beat and thrash with that wrench and you might finally get something in with 10 times effort and you do damage to the wrench, but pull out a claw hammer. That's what it's made for. And you hammer all day long. Do no damage to the hammer because it's being used for the purpose that it's made for. Take, for example, this illustration. Take a car. Try to use a car like a truck. They used to make those Rancheros and El Caminos. You know what? They're built on a car frame. They're not a truck. They're a car truck. They're good for taking off trash, but that's about it. They don't have the suspension of a truck. You can't put the weight in them. That's why they put air shocks on them from the factory. But a truck, a four-wheel drive truck, a Z71 package, has got suspension. You can put the weight on it, and it'll take it. It's made for that. Take a car, take a truck, put it in a field. Now, it might pull a plow, but it ain't made for that. And it'll never perform like a tractor, because that's what a tractor is made for. That specific purpose. Child of God, everybody on the sound of my voice, God made you for a purpose. And if you're not fulfilling it, you're not being successful. And that's why we get so miserable and we feel like our life is going nowhere. We're not fulfilling the purpose that God made us for. Trying to do something He hadn't called us for. Trying to do something He hasn't equipped us for. Oh, the importance of knowing God's purpose and God's direction and headed in that direction. You know what happiness is a result of? Everything working right inside of you. Did you know that? Body, soul, spirit working right in unison with God. Having the Spirit of God in control of your life when the whole body is doing that God has ordained. Boy, doesn't it make life easier? You find happiness on the road to duty when you're finding out your responsibility and walking in the light that God's given you. It produces joy. People have a manufactured happiness. It's just surface. They buy a new car and they're happy for a week. Then when the payment comes in, they're miserable again. Build another house, they think that's going to be the end of all ends. Happy for a month, and then it gets old. It doesn't matter what condition there is in this life. You'll not find joy in your husband. You'll not find joy in your wife. You'll not even find joy in your children. Joy is everything working right inside of you, pleasing God, and God giving you joy in this world and peace that passeth all understanding. The English word for happiness is from a word that means hap chance. That means if circumstances are right. That's what people's doing. If they can just get a spasm of happiness. If they can just be happy for a minute. If they can just be happy for an hour. If they can just be happy for a few hours. If they can just be happy for a few days. Boy, I tell you, when a person is functioning right on the inside, boy, this happiness is what God calls joy. Joy is satisfaction. It's gratification. It's ecstasy. It's cheer. It's rejoicing. It's prize. It's gladness. It's rapture. It's blessedness. That doesn't mean that you go around laughing all the time. Joy is an inward thing. And it's knowing your sins are gone. It's knowing you're right with God. It's knowing nothing is between you and God and anybody else. Knowing that you're fulfilling the purpose for your life. There's nothing in 10 million worlds that brings more satisfaction than to know right now, at this moment, I'm in God's will. I'm doing what God said. I'm fulfilling the purpose that God would have me to. And if you don't find that, it's going to elude you all your life. All the importance of finding God's purpose that we might do it. In the biblical sense, this word joy, it means to overcome. It means to cry aloud. It means to shout for joy. It's got the idea of the shout of victory. Psalm 5:11, but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Joy also means to leap, to dance, to spring with excitement. It's a battle cry, an alarm of war, a war cry. When John Hyde, whom they coined the nickname Praying Hyde, Praying Hyde would get a victory and assurance that God was going to answer his prayer. He'd jump up and Christ shout the victory of Jesus Christ. When Dr. Percy Ray would be praying and God give him the inner assurance and that joy that God had heard his prayer, he'd jump up, scream like a wildcat, and take off. Hey, I'm telling you, boy, there's joy in serving God and joy in talking to God, joy having your prayers answered, joy in going the right direction. I don't care what Satan says, when you know that you know that you know that inward knowledge that you're doing God's will, what a joy will fill your heart. 1 Peter 4:13. But rejoice inasmuch as you're partakers of Christ's suffering when his glory shall be revealed. You may be glad also with exceeding joy. You know what the Bible says in the last days? That men's hearts would fail them for all that's coming on this world. You know who that is? People don't have what I'm talking about. Scared to death about the food running out. I know a guy that stacked his house up, spent bukus and thousands, getting ready for Y2K. And he got so arrogant about it. Some in his church had said something to him about it. And he got up and said, I'm tell y'all something, when this thing falls apart, don't come to my house thinking I'm going to give you anything. I'm going to take care of myself. What that idiot didn't know is everybody knew he had it. If everybody knows you got it and the bottom falls out, you ain't got enough guns to fight them off. That's foolishness. I'll tell you, I got a deep settled peace and joy. I'm not in panic mode. I don't care who's in the White House, who's in the Senate and Congress. I know who's in control. I'm not talking about not being responsible. I'm not talking about not planning for a rainy day. I'm talking about getting obsessed with this world. You don't have joy. Just worried to death all the time about what's coming. Oh, thank God, I've read the last chapter. I can tell you, God is going to win. That puts joy in my heart. Extreme joy. Gladness. To be exceeding glad. To rejoice exceedingly. The Bible says Jesus endured the cross. Why did he do it? You know why? Because the joy that was set before him. That's why. In Psalm 40 verse 8. I delight to do thy will, O God. You know, some of you are miserable all the time. You won't do God's will. You want God to bless you with a halfway commitment. Forget it. It's not going to happen. Oh, most people in this world, the only little bit of happiness say, God, it's to look forward to the weekend. I used to be that way. Got another week down. Another paycheck in. Let's go try to find some happiness. Saturday night rolls around. Sunday comes. Already getting blue again. Monday's coming. I'm not going to live like that by the grace of God. It doesn't matter if it's raining outside, if it's snowing outside. It doesn't matter what day of the week it is. You can have joy in your heart that you're doing the will of God. No matter how old you are. Doesn't matter who's president. What's happening. There's a joy and inner peace you can have, but you can't have it unless you're fulfilling the purpose of God in your life. Joy is doing God's will. Third reason you better find out God's purpose is that it gives meaning to life. You ever seen this? A lot of times when I was coming up, this pretty common thing. You'd see it on TV or you'd see it in a lab or in the high school biology class. You'd see a hamster on a wheel. And it just on and on and on and on and on and on. It's doing all that work and all that effort and going nowhere. Accomplishing nothing. Doing absolutely nothing. That's about the life of most people I know. I've lived that life. No eternal value. Nothing that motivates them. Nothing that motivates them to serve God. Nothing that motivates them to be faithful. Nothing in life that's got a purpose. When a person lacks meaning to life, they're going to fill that void up. And usually, it is with the wrong thing and destructive behavior that ruins them and ruins others. I'm here to tell you, the purpose of God, the reason that I live, Christ said, he lived to fulfill the will of the Father. Purpose gives meaning to life. Life is like a great puzzle. But the purpose of God directs our steps. And all the pieces are correlated. And they come together for the big picture. Purpose brings success. Oh, have you ever thought about what's the opposite of success? What's the antonym for success? It's failure. What's sin? If you go back to the root meaning of sin, what is it? It means to miss the mark. It means not doing what God made you to do. That's sin. If I'm not fulfilling the purpose of God in my life, I'm living in sin. I'm sinning every day that I'm not living for the purpose of God. We think of sin as being diabolical and immoral, getting drunk, adultery, all of these things. But sin is not fulfilling the will of God for your life, the purpose of God. 1 John 2:17, and the world passeth away, and the lusts thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And then knowing your purpose is the secret to guidance. You know what most people say? I can't find God's will. We all fight that. I've fought it half my life. Because when you want to do God's will, you got to know God's will. Now, the problem is, if I don't know which way I'm going, how do I know which direction to take? This is the key. Listen to me. Think about this. When you leave this church, if you get on this road, head towards Highway 18, what are you going to come to at the stop sign and the flashing caution light? What is that? It's a crossroads. Even that star was named after it for years. I guess it still is. Crossroads Market. Now, when you get to that crossroads, what's going to determine? If you put it in reverse, go back the way you come. Go straight ahead. Go to the right or go to the left. What's the one thing that will determine which way that you go? You know what it is. It's according to your destination. According to where your destination is. It's which way you're going to turn. Oh, the importance of knowing the destination. If I stood up here tonight and I said, now, let's everybody next Saturday at 5 o'clock, let's go out to eat somewhere. Let's all go together. What's the first thing you're going to ask me? Right. Where are we going? You know why? Because if you leave your house, leave your place of work, leave Walmart, Dollar General, wherever you are, you got to know the destination to know which way to take. The basic secret in knowing God's will is finding out the destination, finding out the purpose, and moving in that direction. Sometimes, have you ever got lost and you pull into a store and you don't even know which road you're on? You don't know. Well, now they got all these compass indicators. Direction, built in the cars, north, south, east, and west. Now let's say you didn't know all that. And you woke up to the owner of the store. And you tell him, I need directions. He says, yeah, there's a lot of people stop here and ask for directions. Said, where are you going? Well, I don't know. Well, if you don't know, how do you expect me to give you directions? How many are you sitting in here just like that? You don't even know where you're going. You don't even know God's purpose. You know why? It takes self-denial, seeking God, surrender to God to get God's direction for the purpose for your life. Knowing God's purpose is the secret to inner peace. Because knowing God's direction, knowing His purpose, going in that direction unifies the soul and the spirit in confidence on the inside. Oh, think about the inward struggle that we go through because we're being pulled in so many directions on the inside on Sunday. Well, I believe I'm going to serve God. Monday comes around, you consume. Well, I got to do this and I got to do that. Wednesday comes around. Go play golf. Go bowling. Go do some activity. You know what? I've been putting off, really putting effort in this thing. I'm going to put effort in this thing. And I'm going to get good at it. And I'm going to do anything. I'm going to get good at it. Is that helping you with the destination? You said all that's wrong. I'm not saying all that's wrong if God lets you. I'm saying anything consumes you outside of God's wrong. God's got to have the priority. That's when your life is worth living. Purpose gives marriage, direction, goal, contentment, and unity. Now here's where you get into the rub. What if a wife is a godly woman? She wants her family to grow up in church. She sees the importance of it. But she's got a husband. He wants to go on vacation every weekend. He wants to get a camper. Never go to church. Never expose those children. God's blessed him. He's got money. So he's wanting to go spend it on self. You know why? He don't have a spiritual destination in mind. He don't have a spiritual purpose. So this mother is pulled in different directions. And one of these days, it's going to come to head. That wife will get bitter. That wife will get full of resentment. And down the road, they're dissatisfied with each other. On the other hand, here's two people getting married, and they're from totally different backgrounds. One's raised rich, one's raised poor. One's got a college degree, one barely got through high school. One had devout Christian parents, one had parents that never took them to church and never taught them the things of God. But they both have a common goal. And that common goal is serving God, glorifying God. Therefore, they both live their life and they get closer and they get closer and they get closer as they move to that common goal of having God's blessing upon their life. One of the great problems in churches is disunity. Everybody has to be pulling the same direction. When you got people pulling different directions, you got chaos. Oh, that we find God's purpose for this church and all move in that direction. You say, what's the direction? It's real easy. God's won't produce disciples out of you. If all God cared about is taking you to heaven, He done took you there. He's wanting to work Christ's likeness in you and make disciples out of you and equip you to live in the victory and reproduce yourself through others. Now, God can't bless me like He wants to if I'm going in the wrong direction. If all I'm consumed with is material blessings and temporal needs and what I can see instead of majoring on what I can't see. Oh, you know what God does? If He's going to do anything with you, He'll bring you to such inner frustration that you get so out of heart. Man, I can't go on like this. There's got to be more to life than this. My life is slipping away. My life has lost its purpose. My life has lost its direction. And God, I've got to have you to right the ship. I've got to have you to get me in the right direction in this world. Now, we all fall in one of four categories. Either we have no conscious purpose and we're just existing. That's the majority of this world. They've got no purpose. And those that do, they're putting their money in a bag with holes. They're not taking nothing with them. And it doesn't bring happiness. Did you know at one time, I don't know about now, but at one time, there were more psychiatrists than there was movie stars in Beverly Hills and Hollywood, California. You know why? All that mess does not make you happy. Oh, no. Yeah, the more you get, the more greedy you get. Very few people get more thankful. And the way you get thankful and grateful is to give it away. Give a large percentage away. But others have dual purposes. They're trying to serve God and enjoy the world. At the same time, some have a single purpose. Boy, if you today had to write down, what's my goal? What's my purpose? What's my direction? what would you write down? You know what they say? There's done surveys. 10%. That's 10 out of 100. Have any idea what direction their life is? What their goal is? And only 3 out of 10's ever written it down. Ever really etched it in their mind. Now, the problem is, if you're here today and you're lost, if you're a man, you're lost today, you're 2/3 a man. You're not a whole man yet. That's right. Because your body and soul, you're not spirit. Your spirit's dead. You don't have the life of God. You don't have no communication with God. You can't talk to God till you get God's life in you. Now, you can mumble words. God hears everything that's said because He knows all things. But you got no connection to Him until the Holy Spirit regenerates you, puts a new nature in you, the life of God in you, and gives you direction in life. Oh, that's what He done for me. That's what I surrendered to when God saved me. That was that loosening on the inside. The Bible says the Word of God's quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God's likening the Word of God to a sword. And the truth of God, when the Holy Spirit puts that truth in you, and you're regenerated, God works repentance and faith, and you're born again, God cuts you loose from the inside. Do you know that? Your spirit's dead and it's stuck to your soul. It's like a glove stuck to the soul. And it's got no life. But when God saves you, He divides asunder soul and spirit. That's what He said. And He puts a new nature in you. That's why you desire God's things. He puts the Holy Spirit in you. That's why you love God. That's why you love what you used to hate what you used to love. That's why you get humbled down. That's why you got to say, I'm sorry. That's why you got forgiveness in your heart. That's why you're not out for a grudge all the time and resentment getting even at people. Because God put a new nature inside of you. And therefore, He gave you a purpose. When God saved you, He gave you a divine purpose. Have you ever found out what it is? Well, you say, if I just knew, well, the end result's going to heaven. I ain't talking about going to heaven now. That goes without saying. And no matter why God saved you, what reason? Why did He do it? You say, well, I believe I got a gift to pray. Then you give yourself to it. And you learn all you can about it. And get at it. You say, I believe God's given me a special gift to witness to people. Then be the best you can. God reveals the details to His purpose as we get older. God revealed something to me last week I'd never known in my life. God gave me more insight to one of the purposes God made me for, what I've gone through, what God's taught me, and the experiences. And when He showed that to my heart, it all makes sense. Are you listening now? Boy, you'll never, ever, ever have what you're looking for on the inside till you know your purpose. Boy, if I know my ultimate goal is California, and I'm out here on I-40, I know which direction to go. Now, it's going to take me a long time to get there. But when I come, of course, I-40 goes all the way out there. Number 10 does. You get on number 10, goes all the way to California. I-40 connects the coast. If you're on other roads, though, you get off to get gas, you know which way to get back on, north, south, east, or west, by the destination you're going. That's how we figure out things in life. Is this going to help me get to my destination? Is this going to put me in reverse, waste my time, spend a lot of money, get me out of gear? Is it going to postpone where I need to get to? Or am I right on schedule? Boy, it's important to know you're right on schedule. If you're here today and you're lost, you know what your problem is? You're not operating according to the purpose God made for you. Your purpose is to know Him. long as you're in rejection, you don't know Him. You can't do His will. You can't do His purpose. That's why God made you. Hey, Henry Ford, when he started making cars and started that assembly line in Detroit, do you know there's a, what is it, Lafayette, Chevrolet? There's about five of those old car companies. They're named after Frenchmen. Do you know that? French. Right. Oh, Henry Ford made those cars for a reason. He had a purpose in mind. They wasn't to live in. They are to transport you. That's what they're for. That's what they're made for. And they're not to be sitting out in the woods somewhere resting down, being of no benefit. You know what it means to be lost? You ever thought about that word? If you're not saved, you're lost. You know what that word means? If I got a watch and it don't work, it's lost. Are y'all following me? It's lost. It's not fulfilling the purpose it's made for. And to be lost is to be in a condition God can't use you. If you're lost, God can't use you lost. He can't use you till He puts in you what you need. And that's Him. And when a person starts wanting a direction in life, God can't, you know what? What people, they get frustrated. So I'll get on more drugs. They get frustrated, so I'll drink more liquor. They get frustrated, so I'll go have an affair. They get frustrated, I'll go buy a new car. All that stuff just puts them in debt. Don't do one thing for them. And destroys their health. And what's eluding them is living with that inner contentment that I'm doing God's will, fulfilling what God has got for me to do. Are you doing that? Now don't think for a minute that it doesn't matter. You're headed for it. You're judgment bound. That's where you're going. You're more accountable right now than you've ever been in your life after hearing what I preached. You better find out what it is and get at it. Because that's what you're going to give an account to God for. If you obeyed the purpose for which God made you for. Did God get glory out of you? You say, well, I'll never be popular in this world. Well, who wants to be popular in this world? The only way you get popular in this world is acting like this world. I don't want to act like this world. There's a victory and a power and a purpose and a direction that only God can give you. Well, how do I know I'm in God's will 10 years from now? I'll be in God's will right now. When you get to those crossroads in lives, head in the direction that takes you to the purpose. Life will be worth living. Let's stand our feet. Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. How important this is. It matters, and I'm sure it does to a lot of you. I hope it does to all of us. It matters to me what God thinks about me. It really does. It matters to me if I'm doing what God saved me to do. What He called me to do. What He equipped me to do. Father, in Jesus' name, I've tried to obey You today. Lord, this sort of out of the ordinary. But these little old truths and these little illustrations are so profound. They're dynamic. They're eye-opening. They are to me. And I know they are to those that really want You, want Your will. God, reveal to us what Your will is. God, do for us what we need. Lord, not what we want, but what we need. Lord, Thy will be done, Father. Boy, life's monotonous. Life's full of boredom if you're not living for His purpose. Jeremy, sing a verse of that, will you?